Welcome back to the Practically Spiritual Podcast. This is Jessica Palmer of Jessica Palmer Official. I'm a breakthrough coach and personal development specialist. I'm all about helping people ditch existing mode, survival mode, and activate what I call thrive mode. So I've created this podcast in accordance with my mission, which is to create collective change through conversation and remarkable transformational experiences. So grab a coffee, grab a wine, whatever you like at all, and I hope you enjoy this transmission. Welcome back to the Practically Spiritual Podcast. So excited for this next guest, beautiful Eva. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello, how are you?
I am well, thank you. Eva, we recently were in a program together. We connected. We're both pregnant. And I just want to say I was really inspired by you, by everything that you were sharing in that mastermind. I thought, wow, this woman is the real deal. That's really what I was thinking. And I'm like, we've got to get you on the podcast.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. And I'm so excited to be here and delve deep in like my two favorite topics, really, like tying the spirituality into the business world. So I can't wait.
100%. And I'd love for you to share, you know, who you be in the world and, you know, what is it that you do?
Amazing. Okay. So I guess pretty much my journey started in the business world 7 years ago. And I really didn't have a spiritual awakening until about maybe 2 or 3 years ago now, which is quite funny because I think a lot of people and probably a lot of your listeners are sort of coming from the, you know, holistic, they can feel the spiritual energy and then they're trying to tie their purpose in. Or I was the complete other way around. So I sort of started my business from, you know, being a first-time mom, knowing that I couldn't be at home. You know, I was in the events industry. So I'd done my degree and then I started working for hotels and I was in the corporate world. And so I was really doing those really long hours. And then when I got pregnant, I was like, there is no way I can do this. I'll miss this kid's life. So I started my first business, which was an event planning business. And then I did that for several years and we started growing and we started evolving because as you can see, like it was even in the office at the moment, and we did branding really well. I think sometimes in life there's things that you and spiritually, absolutely. Like, yeah, exactly. You have these gifts that no one ever teaches you. And they start flourishing in your business. And I was an event planner, not a stylist. And then we started sort of evolving with the styling and the branding and we became quite well known. But being non-spiritual or not really having any, awakening, I was obsessed with the strategy. So I learned, you know, strategy, strategy, strategy. And it just became this kind of over the top, really like heavily intellectual, you know, this is how we have to do it, and you know, running with all of those guidelines. Yeah. And then we created an online wedding planner, which was amazing. And then a few years ago I started working with an insane business coach, and she was all about unlocking your purpose. And in that time, it's actually, I don't know, it's quite funny, I don't know if you've heard of like the Saturn return. When, yes. Yes, of course you have. And I'm sure all your listeners have as well. But that was the time I had my spiritual awakening. So it was really like going from, I always believed that there was, you know, a God or something, but it was a huge spiritual awakening. It wasn't like, oh yeah, I'm aware that there's a consciousness here. And then it was just kind of like this. It was like my whole entire world exploded. Like it was just insane. Like the energy that was flowing through me. And I understand now that what I went through is a part of my purpose in this lifetime, because a lot of the people that we deal with are people that aren't awake, and it's about really nurturing them from going from that process. But because it took me so long to wake up, the awakening was so deep and it was so fast and it was so like, oh, I've been here before, and just really untapping everything. And now my purpose and one of our businesses is women in business. So transforming women's lives in business and really allowing them and enabling them to step in their fullest, you know, most beautiful, authentic potential. And that's come from, you know, years of being in business. So I know all the strategies, I've invested in all the coaches, I've learned all of the things, but now I get to tie the most important ingredient to it, which is, you know, who you are. It's 80%, even though we can transform. Oh, exactly. And even though we get to transform our identities on an intellectual level, if we don't have this understanding, like there is, I don't know anyone that is, you know, multi-millionaire, transforming lives, making a huge impact, that does not have an understanding of the spiritual side of things. And it doesn't matter what religion they are, it doesn't matter what type of spirituality they are, there is a huge underlying. And that was, and I think me being so intellectual, I was always like looking up, I was like, what are the success principles? Like, where are these? Okay. And then I'm like, okay, all these people believe in God. All these people have some sort of like higher vibration. So I really had to tap into that. And I think the last few years, it's been really, really, really beautiful, because even though the businesses were successful before the spiritual awakening, life has never been so fun. Like, it's just like you're on this beautiful ride and there's nothing to stress about. And, you know, like things will come up, but you know that everything's happening for you and nothing's happening against you. Whereas when you aren't really awake, everything's black and white and, you know, you're like, oh, this is a failure and this sucks, and you get in your head so much. Whereas when you've awoken and being able to transform people's lives like that, like it's just, it's so beautiful when I get to work with clients that are in that early stage of like spiritual growth, or they just don't know how to tie the two and two together. And I think like one of the biggest things that really bugged me for a long time was like, everyone that is successful hustles and hustles and hustles, and hard work is the only way.
And then we think, oh, this is how I get successful. This is how it's meant to look.
Oh my gosh, yes. And it just, it was like a question I kept asking myself every single day. I was like, I can't. And every time I, you know, I'd do a reading or I'd work with like a healer or someone, they're like, ever you were a man in a past life, like this is the lifetime that you have to, like, you've got to be a woman, because I can feel it, like that masculine energy is so strong. But for me to be successful in this life, I have to step into flow and I have to step into my feminine. And one of the most powerful things that I noticed, because I kept asking this question, I was like, you need to give me an answer. And I think it was like a while ago, and you would know Mind Valley. Great platform for a lot of spiritual speakers. And they were comparing Elon Musk, you know, multi-billionaire to Michael A. Singer. He wrote The Surrender Experiment. And oh my gosh, anyone listening, you have to read the book. It's like, I can't put it down. It's the best book I've ever read. Yes. And so, oh my gosh, it's amazing. So he became a billionaire by surrendering to life, because he knew that life had a greater consciousness than he did himself. And the biggest problem is that how consciousness works is when we're in the lowest level of consciousness, we are hustling, we are killing ourselves, we are putting in all of the hours. But as we raise our awareness and our consciousness, we're actually doing far less work, but it's coming to us. And obviously, like there's this huge thing. I'm not saying you don't work. It's just that it comes from this energy, this place of like absolute flow, and you can't put it down and you don't feel like procrastinating. It's just, it's that energy that creates worlds.
It is this place of inspiration, and it is when you surrender. Like when I think about, you know, I've been really fortunate to spend time with some really successful business people, like CEOs of massive companies. And when I really look at those people and I think, and I reflect back, I mean, during the time I was not conscious whatsoever. But when I reflect back now and I look, okay, what is it about them, how they show up in the world, that is different to the managers, to the team leaders, to all of these people? Like, why is the CEO the CEO? And what it is they're great at listening. They step back and they actually really do surrender, and they're willing to let go of control. They don't have to always be in control, right? Mm-hmm. And it is, you can see that when you spend time with these people that are operating at a very high level. It's funny because you would think they would be like, do this, do that, do this, do that. But it's the complete opposite.
And touching on that, I believe it is it's this place from being whole. Like you feel whole. And when you're whole, you don't need anything. Because when you need or you want something, that's negative and it's coming from a place of lack. But when you're whole, everything is just handed to you. And the problem is that so many of us, we live on this physical plane and we're like, I need this, I need that, I want this. And this is where I was coming from in the early days of my business, because I had such a terrible childhood. I had to be successful. I had to be seen. I had to have this status because that was my self-worth. And I was tying my self-worth to having all of these things, being seen. I was doing it for all the wrong reasons. And when you do things for the wrong reasons, they will never come to you the way you want it. Or maybe you will get it because you're putting in the energy, but when you get there, you'll never feel fulfilled and you'll just always feel empty. So I think really, really powerful what you just said about knowing that it does come from this place of being whole. And then when the CEOs are there, like they don't need recognition. They're already the CEO.
They don't care. They really don't care. Like they don't care. They're actually so quiet. Like when I think about it, they don't speak much. Like, and for me, that's a sign of a great leader, is when they speak less and they listen a lot.
Definitely 1,000%. And, you know, speaking to coaches that are listening, something I learned with coaching, because you know, when you start, you so desperately want them to hear you because you just want to, it's almost like you just have this hammer and you're like, please listen to what I'm saying. Please, you know, put this into, yes. Instead of becoming more aware, when you become a great coach, you understand that you're holding the space for them. And you're allowing them to answer the questions, because when they come to that realization themselves, they're going to put the work in. They're going to feel like they arrived there by themselves, because when we come to places from force, we can't do the work properly. We can't really become that version. Like, we think about how many times in life someone told you something and it took you over a decade to really, really, really hear them. And then that one day in that one moment in that one millisecond, and that person said exactly what people have been saying to you for years. But then you're like, okay, I'll listen to you. I'll start sorting out my life, or I'll start doing this, or I'll start implementing this. But people kept telling you for so many years and you didn't listen to them because you weren't ready. So it is, really, really, really understanding that you do have to hold that space. And
I really love that you brought this up, because, I mean, as someone that is a trainer of coaches, this is one of my greatest passions, is not and asking great questions. Like, learn how to ask great questions. You know, for me, I truly believe that coaching is a facilitation of self-discovery. And it really is about, helping them develop these strategies of self-inquiry so that they have sustainable results.
Yes, 1,000%. And it is like, and even as a coach, you know, like we would never, ever, ever say, come to us and don't ever go to anyone else, because it's not about that. It's about the fact that our gifts are going to propel them in certain ways, and then someone else's gifts are going to propel them, and then someone else's gifts are going to propel them. And I would never learn from one coach at a time. I've always got multiple, you know, courses and masterminds. And
like five right now.
that was me at the end of last year. I went nuts. I had so many coaches, so many masterminds. And the only reason I'm slowing down now is, and you're grateful for this time as well. Well, and also the coronavirus has just been incredible. Like, I couldn't ask for a better time, like nearly about to give birth and I get to slow down, and I'm so grateful. Like, it's amazing, and it's just a really, really powerful experience for me, because that is my go-to, you know, without trying to come from a place of lack. But I always throw myself into work, and I really have to. That's one of the things that I'm always working on. It's taking a step back. And but for me, when it's not work, it's learning. So it's like,
as coaches, we really are so, it's almost can be a bit of an obsession. You know, we're passionate, but we can get a little bit obsessed with what it is that we do, because we love it so much.
And I think it's also that like we know we've come into these physical bodies to do this work. And so we do have this, you know, you've got the same thing where you're constantly being pulled, you know, it's just like intense pull. And we are here to experience all facets of life and, you know, learn how to be. And I love that you're, you know, you're having your fourth kid, because there's like probably a very, very small percentage of us that are literally running our businesses with kids. And, you know, like, you know how challenging it is. It's such a challenging thing being a mum. And I'm constantly questioning, you know, the form versus the unform. Like, how is, you know, did I react appropriately in that, you know, manner? Like, it's so, I feel like the spirituality of raising kids right now really puts a whole nother, a huge, huge spanner in the works, because there's not many teachers out there. Like, there's Dr. Shefali, but that's probably one of the only ones I know that, you know, really, really goes into depth with it. I'm sure there's heaps of others out there, but it just, it becomes like this
like, next maternal leadership, you know. Mm. Like, I run an event, which of course isn't running right now because we don't have any events happening. Maybe we'll do another one next year, I don't know. But called Maternal Awakening. So it really is about awakening the maternal leadership. And I truly believe, and I'm sure you're the same, you know, there's something different about the container, like what you can actually hold and what you can, I don't really want to use the word endure, but experience. There's a different level of resilience that happens and a deeper level of presence that gets to be had, because we're constantly being upgraded and forced to learn, okay, I need to be more present because there's more kids, there's more screaming, there's more noise, there's more mess.
Yes. And
I find, yeah, every child, basically, like, I just, my identity dies from that child, like from that being a mum of three to then becoming a mum of four, whatever it is. Every single time there's been this next level of upgrade and ascension that I've had a child. Like, it's actually caused me to be just the most, yeah, it's been the greatest lesson that I've had.
Oh, yeah, 1,000%. I guess, you know, for me, the first two, I wasn't awake for them. So really, sorry, on a physical plane, very, like, I struggled a lot. Like, the first one was, I was in, and also following and mimicking the belief systems from my parents, you know, between the ages of 0 and 7. So my first son, I really had this terrible mentality that, you know, why is this happening to me? Like, I just want to do my businesses. Like, how is this happening? Like, it was such a negative place to be in. Yeah. But now, you know, my first son's 7 and my daughter is, he'll be 7 in July. She'll be 4 in July. So,
what dates in July? I'm just curious.
So my daughter's 4th of July. My son's the 12th of July. So yeah, and they're complete polar opposites, you know. My daughter born, my daughter's got this like wholeness about her, like she demands her worth, and you know, she'll never have an issue with it.
My second child.
my son. yes, but my son is the opposite. You know, he's a really, really beautiful soul, but it does, I think it rocks his world a lot having a second child. You know, it takes away. And so it's been a huge challenge. And then as a parent, to never make them feel like we value her more than you because she's easier. And, you know, like it is, it's such a...
I found that I was like at first, because the first child was really easy compared to the second child, and I'd constantly be stuck, because this is before I really had my spiritual awakening, and I was comparing my experience from this child to that child. Why can't you just, even though like it was a baby, the second child's a baby, yeah, I'm like, why can't you just sleep like her? Why can't you do this and do that? Yeah, so I totally get what you're saying.
Yeah, and then you've really got to, and now like I'm just like yes, and be calm. You know, there's something in me that, you know, would be programmed from a young age, because my mom was the same. Like when they scream, it like, you know, like claws, like you just want to like strangle someone. Like it's like something in you just fires up and you're just like, oh,
yeah, but within.
But you're so right. Like they're to be given. Like I always see them as gifts now. Like I was never able to see that at the start, and I'm, you know, saddened by it, but I will always be so grateful for them. And they are your biggest teachers, to be given something that you cannot control and you have no control over in a world that you have no control over, but yet we are so obsessed with control and controlling our lives and controlling outcomes and knowing what's happening. Like, I think if you can, and even, you know, right now with this COVID situation, like if you can understand that every day we have uncertainty, every day we don't have control, like everything we have could be gone tomorrow, but we all live like we know the outcomes of every single day and we know better, and oh, there won't be an avalanche tomorrow. Like there could be, there could literally be a zombie apocalypse tomorrow. Like we don't know. But it is. And then, you know, having these kids that, you know, are screaming, or they're going from like being happy, and then, and this is why, I think this is why parenting is so hard, because we want them to be a certain way. We have these expectations that are unrealistic, that they are going to be a certain way. And that's the same thing with our businesses. Like, it has to be this way. If I don't make this much money by this time, I'm going to give up. Like, we just,
yeah, if I don't do
yes. And it's like, who's to say, like, if you weren't making any money in your business but you were inspiring millions, does that mean you're a failure? Do you know what I mean? Like, there's so many ways to look at things. Like, we don't have to look at everything like it's black and white. We don't have to be like, well, it has to be like this or I'm a loser. Like, it's just like, okay, cool. Well, the universe doesn't really want me to do it that way. I might try this way, or give me a sign. Like, you obviously don't want me to go down that path. Like, it's just about fully, and this is why this guy's book is, it's just, oh my gosh, you'll have to read it. It's incredible. Yeah, The Surrender Experiment.
Show notes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, it's just transformed my life. Like, the things that unfolded by him just letting go, and really it was like giving into resistance. So it could have been something like, safe instance, you asked me on this podcast, and of course I was thrilled to be on here, but if I had no idea who you were and I'd never met you, there might be some resistance, and I'd be like, well, I don't know this person, like haven't met them. And so you build up the resistance in your head. But then the surrender experiment is about going, well, hold on a second. Why would I not want to do this? Why would I not want to share my message with the world? What's stopping me from being here? And so he'd just start saying yes to things where, you know, I think we all understand that there's a voice in our head with the resistance versus something that feels really icky in our souls. Yeah. I think if we can kind of start, you know, understanding that, then when the resistance is coming from the voice in your head, that's when you need to surrender. Whereas I think you know, that gut soul wrenching feeling when someone's about to like attack you or something, that's completely different. But I think that sort of, that was a very difficult thing for me when I started to do all the spiritual work. It's like, okay, well, you've got to let go of everything you've really ever learned in your entire life. Like all the strategy and everything that you've been doing matters and it helps. But at the end of the day, if your frequency's off or you're vibrating at
you did not lie.
Oh, exactly. Like the work is like, I remember a business coach said to me one day, she's like, Eva, we only have one job and it's just to feel good. And I was like wow.
What strategy is that?
Yeah. I was sitting there. I'm like, okay, yeah. Cool. So when's the strategy coming? What's the strategy about feeling good? Like, what do we have to do?
Some conversations I have with my husband, just surrender.
My husband hates it because he's a massive yogi and he's great at it. But yeah,
I think I saw some pictures of him on Instagram. I was like, oh, he's crushing it.
Oh, he does. It's crazy. He only started like a year ago and he's just able to do everything. But I know. I was like, Eva, don't let it trigger you. It doesn't matter, especially being pregnant, because like there's no way I can barely like get into downward dog. Like I wouldn't be able to do anything at this point.
I mean, you are literally like anyone, by the time this airs, you're going to, there'll be a baby. Like your baby will probably be, I reckon, be like 6 weeks old or something. But honestly, anyone that's listening, I just want you to picture Eva right now. She's literally like due right now. Like the baby could come out right now, guys. Like,
but yeah, I think it is, it's so funny because if we're in full alignment and in the highest level of consciousness, opportunities will just fall into our lap. And the only thing that's really stopping us, you know, is the resistance. It's all the resistance. Like I was talking to a friend earlier that I was like, you should start a business now. And he's like, well, no, because there's a recession. I'm like, well, that's just your resistance. You know, it obviously triggered him a lot to hear that.
There's so much trigger going on. It's heightened, isn't it?
Mm. But I find it like, and you might have this with your husband. My husband triggers me more than anyone I know. Like he drives me insane. Like it just
development, I think.
Oh, it is. And I think, and I do honestly believe like, you know, our partners are the, some people say like they're your master spirit guides, you know, in a lot of things because like my husband just, it's everything. It's like the inner work just kind of put up there in front of me. You know, just have a happy conversation and he disagrees with like almost everything I say. And, you know, and it's not bad. It's great because it gives me an awareness about the fact that my truth is not his truth. And there's no right or wrong in life.
There's a beautiful acceptance piece, you know, when you just accept people as they are and that there's no judgment around what they think and feel. Like there's just this different level of love that gets to be had.
Yes, I love that. And I think, you know, that everything needs to be built. Like we need to build bridges with everyone.
Yes.
There's no one in this world that you shouldn't be able to get along with on some level.
I really love this. I really love this because there's so much us and them that can go on, you know, on social media. And it's just an invitation when we do experience that resistance. Like for me, I'm like, resistance is my friend. Like this is an invitation for me to get curious. Like how can we come from a place of love and just be curious? You know, nobody's right or wrong. Whatever is just is, but what would happen if we just allowed ourselves to have a conversation free from judgment, to just listen to someone else's opinion and then to share ours and just say, okay, well, what do we think collectively about this?
Oh, a thousand percent. I think that's a huge shift in awakening, right? You go from me, 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 me to, well, hang on a second. I'm here to serve the world. And I know like when I was going through this transition phase, and, you know, I'd hear people saying things like, well, I'm just here to serve the world or I'm here to be a vessel. And it would make me cringe because I was like, what do you mean? Like, I'm here for myself. I want to be rich and I want all these things. Like, but then I started, yeah. I want all these nice things. That's what life's about. And then you go deeper and you're like, you know what? Like all of this could go if I could just, if like what means more to me than anything right now is when people reach out to me and they're like, oh my gosh, you just changed my life. Or that one thing you said made such a difference. Or I never could have done this without you. Like those comments mean more to me than anything money could ever buy. Like it just, you, it's like this just remembrance of that's why you're here.
It's a really beautiful point to bring up too, Eva, because anyone that's listening to this, you know, maybe you're new to coaching and you think, I'm showing up, I'm sharing my message, I don't have many followers, like I'm not really making an impact or a difference. But the thing is, there are people that are quietly behind their computers, quietly behind their phones, and you are making a difference in their life. They just don't quite have the courage to share that right now. But don't for one second think that the message that you're sharing isn't speaking to someone. Someone out there is listening. Believe me.
Oh, 1,000%. And I think when we get caught up in like the egotistical side of it, it is you're looking at likes, you're looking at followers, you're looking at the only thing you really should be looking at on social media is comments so you can respond to them, show people that you're caring about them. The likes don't matter because people see likes, like they'll read it and they might, like, you never know what's going through their head at the time they see your post. Like it might trigger them. They might keep thinking about it over and over and over and over again. And it actually helps them unravel something in their life. Like it is really important that we take away from that egotistical side of things. And, you know, I've done it in the past. You'll share a post and you'll get several hundred likes and comments, and then you share the next one and no one likes it, and you want to delete it, and you're just like, you know what, who cares? And when you actually say who cares that no one likes that, the message got out there and that's all that matters. I feel like you actually get to go into a higher vibrational frequency because you're not focusing on this sort of lack, this what I have and what I don't have. Like you're tying your self-worth to the followers when, like, I was actually coaching a girl the other day and she's like, I've only got 3,000 followers and it's really, 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 really bad and I can't get any more. And I was like, don't you see what you're doing? And she's like, no. And I was like, you have 3,000 followers. Imagine standing in front of 3,000 people in a room. You need to nurture these people, love these people. And when you're looking after these people, then the universe is like, oh, well, she's doing a great job with 3,000. Let's give her more. Let's give her more. Like, let's.
If you're not grateful for one person, you know, like, you know, sometimes you might do a webinar or something or a free event and you might have a very small amount of people come. Sometimes it's not a bad thing. You know, I have recently seen a lot of people because, you know, we are doing a lot more online because there's no live events happening, right? So people are saying, oh my gosh, but like, it's so embarrassing when I don't have hundreds of people show up to my webinar or whatever it is. And it's like, it's actually really beautiful. Like, whether you get one person or hundreds, because now you get to nurture that and be really intimate with that small group of people. Like, it's amazing. Like, don't be embarrassed that you're actually being of service. Like, there's nothing to be ashamed of about being of service.
And everyone, like even Tony Robbins, like a lot of those people, when they did their first seminar, they booked these entire hotel rooms and then no one came. There's actually,
like, look at the evidence, guys. Like, it happens to everyone. It's completely normal.
And I think there's, I don't know if you've ever heard of Jim Rohn. He was like the first, first personal development. Well, one of the first that most people sort of knew about. And he was talking about one of his clients that was going to preach in front of this church and he invited all these people and he got there and no one came. And so he's, you know, sort of sitting there waiting. He's like, maybe they lost their invitations or anyway, this builder walks in halfway through and he's like, oh, you came for my talk. And he's like, oh no, I was just having a look at the church. And then he's like, oh, okay, that makes me feel a bit sad. And the guy's like, well, if no one came, you may as well give me the whole entire presentation. And and he gave him the presentation. He was so blown away. But it was just sort of one of those moments in life where you have to be grateful for what you have versus what you don't.
Grateful. Like, if you're not grateful for $1, you're not going to get any more than that.
Yeah, exactly. And the people that, like, everything's relationships, right? Like, our relationship with money, our relationship with our partners, our relationship with our friends, our relationship to our social media. Like, everything is about relationships and how we're treating it. And if you're, you know, if you're on social media and you're not really engaging, and I'm lucky I've got staff to deal with this because I really don't like getting caught in the rabbit hole. And, like, you know, I'm so blessed that, you know, on Facebook, I've got a lot of incredible people like you and a lot of coaches that post beautiful and empowering messages. And I don't follow anyone that doesn't because I wouldn't want that in my space.
Yeah, I don't see anything bad. Like,
oh, no, not at all. I love it. But then we also have to be mindful that if we're not commenting or we're not liking other things, why would people like us? Because it is a bit of this, you know, it's a reciprocal relationship. It's the giving and receiving. We can't just, you know, keep giving and not receive or not, you know, give love to other people. I feel like there's a huge energetic presence when it comes to that. So you can't just keep posting and keep talking like with your loudspeaker, but you're not liking anyone else's photos or commenting on them or giving them support or sharing them. It's like it is an energetic game more than anything. You do have to really be in alignment and feel happy, you know, when people are posting beautiful messages, not, oh, look how many likes they got. You know, like, if you're coming from that, you're coming from a negative mentality and a place of lack.
Yeah.
And so I think it is really powerful because if you're looking at other people's posts and you're thinking, wow, how inspiring are they? How incredible are they? That's so beautiful that they shared that message. That is going to come right back to you instead of going, oh, why does she have 300 likes and I get none? That's going to come back to you as well. You're going to get less and less and less. So it is about just, and I think, I honestly think detached from everything. Like, my husband, he's his engagement lately on Instagram is insane. He gets like 1,000 likes on a photo. Like it's all organic. Like he hasn't spent a cent on marketing. And it just, it's like 1,000 new followers every day. And obviously COVID, people are at home doing yoga and it does help. But we can't, you know, if you're sitting there going, oh my gosh, he's getting all this and I'm not getting anything. Like it's not about that. And he doesn't even care about the likes or the follows. And that's why it's doing well, because you have to detach. And I know it's hard as business owners, because we do need to look at analytics and we do need to look at these things.
But emotionally, you can emotionally detach and just kind of witness, okay, this is the facts. Like this just is what it is.
You don't have
emotion attached to it.
1,000%. I think it is a huge piece where it's just about, who am I turning up for today? Who am I giving this to today? Who is this message for? And this has been something that I've really been working on lately. Like just before I post anything, like just visualizing that one person that this post is going for. And if that one person was me 20 years ago when I was in a heap and I couldn't get up, then that's who I'm posting it for, because I know that there's 7 billion people on the earth. Of course, there's someone out of my, you know, several thousand people that would need to hear that message, or the universe is going to make someone share it and then someone on their platform is going to see it. Like it just...
Absolutely. I love the deep intention. Like you're bringing awareness to having, to not just going, oh, who is my ideal client, but actually having a deep intention. Like you said, who am I showing up for today? Who am I talking to? What do they look like? Like if they were in front of me, what would I say to them?
And it also comes down to having a global vision. You know, like I remember I saw this incredible hypnotherapist a few years ago, and he really taps into, you know, what you want out of life and where you want to go and what you want to be doing. And I remember saying to him, you know, I just want to help millions of people. And he's like, but there's billions in the world. And I was like, you're so right. Like why? But we limit ourselves. Do you know what I mean? Like we literally physically limit ourselves. And I was like, you are so right. Why am I saying that I'm only worth impacting millions when there's billions? You know, it's not. And then also being humble enough to go, you know, like if it's my ego that wants to impact the billions and you only like the universe or God or whoever you're, energetic field source, whatever you like to call it, would like you to go, be humble enough to go there, you know, be humble enough to, like for me, I want to be on stage with Oprah. I visualize it all the time. I'm like, I'd love to be there. I'm going to write a book. You know, it'd be so perfect if all of the ducks aligned. But if that interaction with Oprah is literally sitting in her audience and then I get to speak to her, you know, it's the same thing for me. It's about really just detaching from that outcome and not going, well, if this doesn't happen, it's the end of the world. It's going, well, the universe, and I trust that the universe has a much bigger plan than I could ever have for myself. And so it's just about knowing that you're doing all the things, you're taking the action that you need to take so that your dreams can come true, but also detaching from the way that they need to come through. You know, like we've obviously got goals. We're like, we want 150 people in our coaching program and we want this to happen. But if this isn't what the universe wants, all I can do is everything I can possibly do to make this happen and then be so intuitive along the way that I'm guided to where I need to go to do these right things. So that's sort of the game that I guess has gotten not difficult, but just, you know, it's a much different game from when you're in this low level of consciousness and you're not awake and you're just like doing all the things. And then when you don't get the things you want, you're failing. Instead of going, okay, well, hang on a second. The universe doesn't want me to go this way. The universe wants me to try this. So let's surrender to this and go down this path and flow down this river and keep putting in the steps, because it's not about sitting on your butt and not doing anything. You have to keep moving. You have to keep paddling. You've got to keep, you know, making that oar glide you through the stream, but you're not going up a current that is literally like snapping your oar to pieces and the shards are going everywhere. It's about like surrendering to it. And I think meditating is a huge, huge, huge thing in your business. Like I do it twice a day. I need to do it much more than that. And you know Dr. Joe Dispenza, don't you?
Yeah, I love him.
And I was thinking recently, because, you know, he has these, he's incredible. Yeah. I love him so much. And he's actually coming to Sunshine Coast. He's meant to come in July. Funny. Yes, but I don't know. We'll have to look it up. Exactly. But it was a really silly epiphany, but I was like, he is transforming people with
interrupt for 1 second, which is perfect because you're having a baby. So if it gets postponed, then you can go.
I know. Well, yeah, it'll be July or later. I'll figure it out. I'll literally like go home, breastfeed the baby, come back. Or express.
When I had the last baby, I literally took the baby to like masterminds and stuff. And I was just like I just rocked up. And it was funny because it was very corporate people too. And they were all like, what the hell is this?
Oh yeah, I know, but it's so beautiful when you can get to a place and you don't care what other people think. Like, yeah, it's like, this is what I'm doing for me. If you've got a problem, it's nothing to do with you, is it? Anyone's problem is completely to do with them. But what I was thinking, the epiphany, you know, it was like he's having these massive breakthroughs in 4 days. So people are meditating for 4 days straight and they're literally removing stage 4 cancer from their bodies because obviously they're transforming the DNA cells and the gene structure in their bodies so that disease can no longer live there when you are doing that work. But then, you know, that sort of tied in with Abraham Hicks. It just got me thinking that, like, why are these people having massive breakthroughs? Why are these people attracting large amounts of abundance so quickly? And it was all because there's no resistance. There's no resistance. Every single day that we wake up, there's resistance. You know, it might be like, oh, should I have not said that? Or should I say this? Or was that like, that little voice doesn't stop. And that's the resistance in our minds, which is hilarious because if you're watching war movies, there's always a resistance like that.
Yeah, and that's the thing. We associate the words like surrender with a white flag, like I give up to, that's what we associate the meaning to, right? And, you know, even resistance, again, it's a war. It's like we're fighting. But when you learn to actually go, well, resistance is my friend. We can work together. Like, okay, resistance, let's work together on this. You know, that's kind of what I do. I'm like, we're going to work together and you're going to push me a little bit because I probably need a tiny bit of pushing, but we're going to flow together.
It's like that communication process, you know, it's like, why am I having this resistance? Okay, cool. That happened to me then. It's not going to happen again. Let go, drop down your guard. Surrendering, and almost sometimes it's almost that little push, you kind of like giving it a little bit of a push and like pushing through it.
It's always there to teach you something.
Exactly. And I think, and that's like the beauty of being triggered as well, right? You know, the resistance, the triggers, all the things that are pushing us, like pushing our boundaries so that we can actually step into the next best version of ourselves, or so that we can really transform. It's almost like when you look at resistance as, well, we're playing a Pac-Man game or whatever, like, you know, a video game you want to play, and then you're pushing through and you're going up through the levels because you can't get from here to here by being the same person. There's no way you can get from here to here by being the same version of yourself because you have to transform. You've got to sort of push through that chrysalis and become that butterfly so that you can grow and evolve and really step into that next best version. And I think a lot of us are naive and think that, well, if I just sit here for long enough and I don't really change anything about me, then maybe something good will happen one day.
Just sit here and manifest and it will happen. No. It's a combination, a beautiful recipe.
Exactly. And I love it. I had a staff member a while back and she was like, I think I'm getting this manifesting thing. And I'm like, it's not a thing. Like, it's always happening. Like everything you have in your life, you've manifested, like the good, the bad, the ugly, the, you know, even like that coffee, that person that walked past and said hello. Like, it's, I always joke to my husband,
I love it when people do that. They say hi to me.
Yes, but you know, I joke to my husband because, like, a lot of, especially being pregnant, like, I think you're much more intuitive. You probably notice this as well, a bit more like psychic and, you know, really vivid dreams and, yeah, amazing. But I always joke because when someone gives me a compliment down the street, like, I'll look at my husband and be like, I'm really in alignment right now. Like, just because they're just so random. You know, when you just like, you're feeling happy. You feel whole. There's nothing. There's no resistance. You're just having a good day.
Like when you just, them gives you a compliment and you're kind of like, yeah.
Yes.
I receive that. I receive it.
Yes. Yes. And it is, they're all signs from the universe, you know, like they're all
for us.
Oh, 1,000%. I look at with everything, like even animals, like if I'm just walking and I rarely see lorikeets and then all of a sudden there's like 10 of them and I'm like, oh, everything's colorful.
It's so exciting. Hey, like those small, simple things, like even if it's just like one bird, but you're like, I've never seen that bird before. Like, what is that? I am really excited.
I'm a bit of a freak. Like I angel numbers for me is huge, like massive. Like I just lately.
Any
favorites? The last few weeks have been 28 and 58. So I think they're, you know, mass amounts of abundance is coming through, which is really good because we're launching a big product in June, but it's also being detached from the angel numbers. You know, it's like
from the outcome, letting it be.
Yes, you can't be like, oh, well, I'm getting signs from my spirit guides with these angel numbers. And it's because my course is going to do so well. Like it's, you know, I don't know. And it's not getting so fixated, because if I get so fixated that those angel numbers are because of that, then when that doesn't happen, I'm going to be disheartened. And so it's about going, thank you. Like I always say, thank you. You know, I'm always like, yes, thank you.
It's like a different level of support. You kind of like, when you begin to look into it and you're like, you tap into that and you go, okay, like I feel supported. I'm being supported right now.
But I think that there also is like, we have to be so careful that, especially like when I first started on the spiritual journey, I was like every single psychic, medium, like healer, like I was just like, give me everything, because I had to learn so quickly. And that was my analytical mind from years and years of being used, like trying to take it all in. And then also we have to be careful, because sometimes things that people say are not, like I was actually told that my baby was a girl by three different psychics and it's a boy. And I got really attached to the fact that it was a girl, and I felt like I was having a connection with a girl, and it just, yeah, I'm like, it's going to be a very feminine boy, like however he comes. It's also about knowing, like, and it's funny because I know a medium that told my friend that she was going to get married to a guy that looks like this famous football player. And of course, a few years later, she gets married to a guy that looks exactly like the guy that she thought she was going to get married to. But I think there's a huge part that we need to realize that we have free will, we have free choice, and we can always change our trajectory at any time. And life wasn't meant to be known, you know, it's just not. It's not meant to be known.
That surrender piece, isn't it?
I think deep down in our souls, we know our path and we know our purpose, and we do have a good understanding of where we need to go, what we need to do. Like and the people that we're attracted to, like I'm attracted to lots of women in New York that write books and they're speakers and they're authors. And being an event planner, that was not in my trajectory, but now it's, you know, the podcaster. Sorry.
Now it is you.
I know. And it's, you sort of, it's funny that you follow these people and then you're like, oh, hang on a second. You're following people because they've got pieces of you.
Reflection of you. Yeah.
1,000%. But yeah, it's very, very exciting. I think as humans, well, being, you know, in these physical bodies and these avatars, if you will, whatever you like to call them, however you like to look at it, the most powerful thing is just going with the flow. And when things don't work out, like let go of it. You know, it's such a huge piece to go, like, and then trust the universe. I think we get so obsessed, like even all of our programs as coaches, they're not our programs. They're the universe's programs. They're programs for this world. They're not ours. It's like saying our children are ours. Like we have this complete control over them. Like we own them like dogs when we don't really own anything. Sorry.
This is that vessel piece again, you know, getting really clear on like, you are just a vessel. And even as a mother, you know, as a parent, like I know for myself, like you said, we don't own our children. They're not our possessions. We're actually just the vessel that's bringing them here.
Mm.
And that they are completely their own sovereign beings.
Oh, 1,000%. That's why I, you know, if I'm disciplining my kids, I'm like, oh, I shouldn't be disciplining them. Like, it's, you know, it's just, it's such it's a
actually, a I find it like hard once you become a conscious parent. I feel like there's still like this struggle, like, oh my gosh, but then if I do this and I do that. So I'm kind of still kind of sitting in that place with the conscious parenting piece of how much do I give them this and how do we, you know, it's just, yeah. It's an interesting piece. I remember, I think I felt more worried when I became a bit of a conscious parent to begin with, because I'm like, oh, now I have the awareness of this may cause trauma for them in their childhood. There you go.
I have that every day. I'm like, if I snap or do something, and it's so hard. And then you have to explain. You're like, oh, mommy didn't mean to do that. And then they start treating you like you're the child. And you're like, well, this is not where I was hoping it would go. Like, it's just like.
It's funny because at the end of the day, we're all just kids, aren't we?
Oh, 1,000%. Like they, like, and you have to, I think when you become conscious, it's more about becoming more aware. It's more about like knowing, like right now, if your kids are acting up, it's because there's a huge energy shift in the world and it's freaking them out. And we have to be respectful of that as parents. And like the other day, my son hops out of the car, slams the door, and he says, F-U-C-K-U. And I, and my 3-year-old sitting in the back, and she's like, well, that was rude. And I'm just like, it was.
And then they're probably having an argument because then she said that it's rude and then it's all emotional.
It was more funny that she said that because like, he's never really said that. But then I'm sure I've sworn a million times without realizing it. Like, I hope I've never said that to him ever. I don't think I would have, but it's, yeah, exactly.
There's a reason why they act up, and as much as we might want to deny it, like, yeah, there's always a reason behind everything.
Oh, and it's not my place to go and abuse him for doing that. You know, it's just like, well, we don't treat people like that. It's disrespectful. And then I think you kind of have to let it go. It's one of those things where like when the ball's in your court, you sort of give it everything. But then when it's not in your court, you can't, there's no control. And it's like when they say you give to a charity. And then you're like, oh, what's that charity doing with it? Well, it's out of your control. You know, you did your part. You gave to them. You did the right thing. And you just have to leave it, you know, like it's, my son gets so,
and,
so.
And that is absolutely, absolutely the trust piece.
Oh, 1,000%. You just have to trust. And I think at the end of the day, kids just need love. That's all they need. Like, I think if you love your kids, And you actively listen to them and you look at them when they're talking to you and you remind them that they're worthy, because you're giving them that attention. You're showing them that they're more important than your iPhones and your computers and your work. And in those moments, you know, no matter, like, that's the funny thing about being a parent, like, they'll be telling you the most boring story that you do not want to listen to, but you have to.
That is happening.
What?
Yep.
Oh, I know, like, yeah, I completely, or like something silly happened on YouTube that I couldn't even care less at, but you just you have to quieten your mind and listen to it and just and then I always remind myself, they're never going to be this age again. Like, right. If I miss this moment, I'm missing a million of them, because they're growing so quickly, and that's the present.
That's true. And I think that's one of the greatest gifts and lessons that I've learned from my children is to see the world with wonder, because, you know, like, they learn, they're like, wow, that's a sandwich, wow, that's an animal, like, you know what I mean, like, wow, the sun is warm. Like, when you think about that, you know, like my 11-month-old baby, you know, I don't know, maybe it was a month or two ago, and she discovered the sunlight, and then she was going like this and playing with it with her hand, and I was like, and I was just staring at her, and I was like, wow, that's really incredible. Isn't that incredible? You know, like,
oh, it's so beautiful when they say, and just like the things that crack you up, like last night my daughter had milk, and she's like, and so we'll put this milk into your boobies and then that will feed the baby, and you're just like, yeah, that's how it works. I had to like explain all of the milks, and oh, it was so funny. Like, I my husband and my kids drink cow's milk, but I have almond or coconut or and it, I was like, you're drinking milk from a cow. She's like, oh. I'm like, I'm not all the conversations about God and the universe, all they're next level at the moment.
Why? But But why?
It kills me. And I also, like, for me personally, I'm one of those people that believes that nothing, like, there's, I have no right to force anything down your throat. You know, like, I'm like, this is what, you know, some people believe and some people believe this. I just want you to feel what's right for you and choose what you believe. Like, I don't want to be like, you have to believe in this religion. If you don't, or if you don't believe in spirituality, or, you know, like, it's just about guiding them.
And that's as coaches as well, you know, beautiful place to wrap up with being coaches is we're guides. Mm.
1,000%.
Yeah, it's been such a pleasure to have you on the podcast, sister.
No, thank you so much for having me. I've had such a good time and it's been so nice just chatting about life and all of these fun things and children.
I have a mum as well that's currently pregnant, and I really honour you and thank you for creating the space to have this conversation, because I understand, I know that you love doing this, but I understand, girl, you're about to have a baby.
No, thank you so much. And I honor and respect you for all that you do and for, like, four kids. Like, it's not a competition, but man, four. that's insane for you to keep turning up the way that you do and supporting your community. Like, it's huge. And I think we are so blessed as women living in this time. So blessed. Like, to be able to have husbands that support us as well and don't just, you know, get drunk and come home and pretend like dads, I think, now have really 50% of the responsibility at least. They'll never have the nurturing.
Yes. Massive shift and change, and it's really beautiful to see.
Before we go,
I have four questions that I ask every guest.
Yay.
I'm really excited to ask you these four questions. So the first question is, what is your definition of spirituality?
Definition of spirituality. I feel that my definition of spirituality is having a higher consciousness of the 3D, of having a high consciousness of what you can see, feel and touch. It's really tapping into an energy source, whatever you call it, whatever it is to you, there's no right or wrong, but it's just having an understanding that we're here for a far greater purpose than what you can see in your analytical mind, something far greater, and that we were all put on this earth to serve, to make a difference, to really live into our greatness and also understand, like, unlock our fullest potential. I feel like we have no idea how great we are, and the potential really, really needs to be unlocked on a much higher level. So that's, yeah, a very long-winded answer to that question, but.
Beautiful. Well, there is no right or wrong answer. Imagine.
Exactly.
So, you know, it's always interesting to find out what everyone feels, what their perspective on it is. The second question is, if you could ask the powers that be, which is God, source, whatever that is for you, one question and you get an answer, what would that question be?
Oh, it's such a hard one, because I feel like, See, in the past, that question would be like, am I making a difference? Am I doing these things? But I feel like when you come from a place of where I am now, when you feel whole and you feel content with everything, it would be really, really, really hard to ask a question, because you're just here for the journey and you're just ready for everything to unfold. I guess if I had to be... So really, I guess I'd probably go more on a deeper level and be like, what are your intentions with Earth over the next, what are your intentions with the planet over the next couple of centuries? Mm-hmm. I think it is, you know, you just feel so content. Like, I used to, would always be searching for,
you're in a very place of trust, aren't you?
You'd usually be looking for answers. They'd be like, how much money am I going to make? And am I going to be here? Am I going to be there? Or what's going to happen to my kids? Or are they going to make a difference in the world? Or am I going to leave generational wealth? Like, you know, all these things. But I think when you just really come down to the depths of it, nothing really matters. Nothing really, really matters. So I guess I'd be more inclined or ask something weird like, and what would you like me to do for my next lifetime? Who am I going to be? Am I going to rock up in a spaceship?
Oh my gosh. Who knows? Honestly, who knows? Question number three. What happens when we die?
What happens when we die? Okay. I have done a lot of reading about this. And you know, everyone's no right or wrong, but I believe that, and every religion sort of has its own version of this. We obviously die and then our soul goes up through this plane. And I think this is where, if you've been murdered or something terrible has happened to you and you haven't received your answers and your soul is really confused, it's going to stay in this gray area. And this is the area where I guess some religions would call hell. You know, where you're sort of you're leaving the earth and you're trying to transition. And this is the space where I guess a lot of my friends that are mediums are trying to get souls to cross over. But then you cross through this place, and from my understanding, in a lot of different religions, everyone says it very differently, but you get to go into this viewing room and you get to see your life in really, really, really intense color and see all the things that you've done and things you probably could have improved on. And then your soul sort of collects back to its, whatever you'd like to call it, maybe mothership, or, you know, there's this higher density of soul, because through all the people I've worked with, it's sort of been, it's not just one soul, you know, our soul kind of goes off into several different pieces. So I guess you kind of collect back in there, and it seems pretty happy and rosy on that side of things from what I've read. You're just sort of in this eternal space, and you know, there's lots of books and things that go into this, and whatever feels right for you, believe it and love it. But yeah, and then from there it's sort of like, well, what do I need to learn? Where do I need to go next? Like, what happens? And then you can reincarnate into another body because you didn't learn certain lessons in life, or you can stay up there and have a merry old time. So my crazy, and I know some people listening to this, I know a lot of my friends would be like, whoa, ever, what have you been reading? But no, I've done a lot of research around it, because that was one of my biggest questions. If we'd done this podcast a few years ago, I probably would have been like, what happens when we die?
there's no right or wrong, and you know, it's incredible the answers that the similarities, and then also the different perspectives that people have based on their experiences in life. So my belief is really ever changing. There's just this openness because of what I'm hearing from everyone else. I'm like, this is really fascinating. I'm interested to know whenever it happens, what it is.
Well, I think it's fascinating that we get amnesia when we come into Earth. You know, like that's what fascinates me. Like, imagine how different the earth plane would be if we all knew where we'd come from. It wouldn't be such a huge divide. It would be a very, very different place. So
interesting. Very interesting. So the final question is fill in the blanks. So this is how people reflect on you. Ever made me feel?
Inspired.
Ever taught me?
How to step into my fullest potential without doubting it.
Ever was always
bubbly and happy to be around.
So lovely. Ever, how can everyone connect to you and follow you on social media?
So we've got a few businesses. If you are a woman in business, please follow us on Instagram, ladiesup.co. Or we do have a women in business community on Facebook, which is just Ladies Up in Business. Or if you want to connect with me on Instagram, it's just eva.kosicki, or Facebook, Eva Kosicki.
Amazing. Thank you, sister.
No, thank you so much, Jess. You're amazing. Have an incredible afternoon. And I'll send you a picture when this baby's out. Could be this afternoon. Who knows?
Honestly, like I said, guys, like, Eva's literally about to have a baby. What's social media?
Thank you for listening to another episode of Practically Spiritual, the podcast. Be sure to make sure you are following this podcast on Instagram at practically_spiritual. And if you would like to follow me and also sound off, tell me what you thought of this episode. If you have any questions for the guests that we had or any comments or requests, let me know. I love connecting with you guys. So you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, all the places using the handle at Jessica Palmer Official. Keep striving, keep thriving, and I'll catch you on the next episode.